nih, ha?
Sama cara beli di Freddy Blue nih.
Gimana cara beli di Freddy Blue nih? Oke, okay, not bad. Beli the best skin, yang protect the face, the fat stomach, and the saggy ass. And there you go, it's a family of Freddy Blue nih.
It's a family of Freddy Blue nih, smell.
Yeah, it's a family of Freddy Blue nih.
This is the legendary Humble and Fred Show, Canada's national morning show.
You're now about to witness the strength of street knowledge.
The following episode of Humble and Fred Radio is brought to you by FYI Music News, The Retirement Sherpa, Gig Sky, The Chambers Plan, Strain Print, LFS Credit and Finance Solutions, Rainmaker PR, Hamilton Film Studios, and our newest sponsor, Palma Pasta. If you'd like to talk to Humble and Fred, call 1-833-437-8465. That's 1-833-HF-STINK. And now from the Humble and Fred Queensway National Broadcast Center, here are Humble and Fred.
Good morning.
You know, when you're doing a morning show, oftentimes when I first went to morning man school, they taught me to say, hey, everyone, good morning. I was told to say good morning, give the time, the temperature, the name of the radio station. That was what I said before I would go into comedic routines. Do you remember when you were a young broadcaster? How did you sign on? What was the sign on for the Fred Patterson?
That's your sports.
That's how you signed on?
On? No, that's how I signed off. No, I was usually introduced. And now with the sport, usually in the early days, Mike Stafford. And now here with the sports, here's Freddie. And I would do the sports cast. That's fine. And I'd do the sports cast. And then at the end, I'd say, that's your sports. And then it would be for the bats, that's your sports. And whatever sponsor.
Do you remember what I would say to introduce you? I don't really... Because I know you did a sports cast for a long time with us, and I think it was still introduced inside the newscast, but I think I introduced your sports comment
right.
For some reason.
I think it would have been Mary Ellen or Sandra saying, and now with sports, here's Fred. Unless they're, or coming up with sports is Fred, a commercial in between. I can't recall.
So here's the deal. We're doing a show on Canada's Comedy Superstation, Funny 820. Are you digging it? I think the people are. Also live on Twitch TV, Sean Sargent is our producer. He is, well, I'll tell you what, he's been making a lot of changes. If you go to our channel, he's always improving. He's always innovating. And today, when we cease the terrestrial broadcast... Sean's got us playing video games. That's where this is headed.
Yep, we're growing up backwards this time and playing
right.
A bit of NBA 2K19, Raptors versus Milwaukee. I want to see what you guys can do.
And I've decided if Fred wants to be the Raptors, that's fine with me.
So we're actually playing like a sports video game today.
Yep.
Oh, and excellent.
Game one.
Yeah, game one's tonight in Milwaukee.
I'll be Milwaukee if you don't mind. I'm happy to take you on. And also... If this goes well, maybe we could play some shooting games.
Oh, yeah.
Because I've never done that.
Well, I got some stuff you guys can try out.
Like, I know we were talking about Fortnite and some of these more popular games, but I've never experienced, like, one of those games where you get to be...
The first-person shooter.
First-person shooter.
Assassin's
I'd like
Creed.
To do that. I don't know. Or maybe we could try a golf game.
We could definitely try
a
golf game.
A pretty good golf
game. That's kind of the goal. I want you guys to play a golf game. That's
yeah, but why don't you try that?
For your age group.
Let's get us comfortable playing a basketball game, and then maybe we'll switch to a golf game. I have an apology for you as well.
Well, you know, the big game tonight, Raptors-Milwaukee game one, we'll play basketball. And then there's a big golf tournament this weekend, right? So
PGA Championship starts tomorrow.
As a tribute to that, we can play a little golf.
Mm-hmm. Look at that.
And then it's
we can
the
figure
long,
this out.
It's the long weekend, and I'll be cornholing this weekend probably too. So maybe if there's a cornholing video game,
there's got to be something.
Cornholing 2K19.
I really want to drag you into the world of cornholing.
I played it.
Mm-hmm. Did you?
Yeah. I've cornholed. Right. Yeah, you know where I cornholed down in Florida. I think they had a cornhole game set up.
Mm-hmm.
Pardon?
Hey, Florida, man.
But have you played the... there's a game, Can Jam. Have you played that one,
too? Oh, he's jammed.
It's like Frisbee. And you have to whack it into the bucket and the barrel and get it into the holes and slots.
But there's this real simple cottage country game, and it's not new, but it's making a comeback, where you throw the washers into the cans.
Oh, yes, yep. Yes, yes.
That's a fun game, having a couple of beers. And usually people haven't played it a lot, so everybody's on the same level.
Can you, if you don't mind, describing cornholing to me?
Cornholing's the board.
The beanbag. Yeah, it's got a beanbag, and you throw it in a board.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's a slanted board with a hole, and you throw a beanbag. Dan Duran, for Christmas, I think 2 years ago, made me two cornholing boards. Very nice. A very nice gesture.
Well, I'll tell you what, I don't want to get in the middle of that when you're being cornholed by Dan Duran.
That's why my... that's
throw
why
his beanbag.
That's why I have bugged eyes now.
Is that why?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a hoop toss.
Fred started looking like a Boston Terrier.
Pressure had to come out somewhere.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was at a bar in one of those beach towns a couple of trips ago when I was down on the clubbing trip, and they had it was like one of those theme bars, but in a sand pit in the middle of the bar. They had the cornhole thing set up. And you know what? Everyone
was
playing
this?
Just
Florida?
It was in Florida.
Can you imagine that? An open year-round. Can you imagine that? The sun came out for an hour last night. I went out back and just sat.
No, I know.
With my face in it for an hour.
I know I'm supposed to rest my shoulder, but yesterday afternoon, when the sun came out, I took the dog out, and we went and chipped golf balls for a half an hour. It was so beautiful last evening. It was almost like, what's happened?
And then, you know, you say that about the bar. You know, with the sports out in the sand pit. Open, just think about that. Open year-round. People get to enjoy it all the time. What's that like? We run out for an hour and go, oh, the sun, the sun.
It's like crazy. We're so like alike. Because when it got warm yesterday afternoon, I'd come back from being in the city, and then I'm like, well, I don't want to go upstairs. So I said to Stan, I said, come on, Daddy will take his lame arm. Mm-hmm. And we'll just go over to the park.
Come with Festus. Come old reference.
That's who I've become.
Yeah, Festus.
I'm Festus now. Okay. By the way, speaking of old TV shows, I wanted to run this concept by you quickly. Do you not? Because somebody on our show, I think it was Bill Brio, he made an interesting point on Monday. So he called Game of Thrones Knots Landing. Knots Landing
gone
with,
crazy or
with
something?
Dragons.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
And I was never a soap opera fan. I didn't even watch Knots Landing. But I think what the Game of Thrones reminded me of, it's almost like Bonanza if there were seven Ponderosas. You know, you've got the family, you got the Cartwright family, and then they have all these other ranches that they're sort of feuding with.
Mm-hmm. You know what the biggest bone of contention was that I can figure out now, because he talked about people complaining about it? Was the characters have all been turned upside down.
Mm-hmm.
They massacred, or they eliminated a lot of characters before the last show. And then the characters that remain are not true to themselves or something.
Yeah. They're not consistent.
It's what you said yesterday. Everything she stood for has gone the other way. You know what I mean? And that's the problem. And I'm thinking, wow, it's a TV show.
It's a TV show.
That's a lot of thinking. Just let it happen.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, you know, some people need to, I guess, see more than there is. I mean, that's how some people enjoy art differently than, say, you and I. I mean, I'm perfectly fine to leave a movie and not really talk much about it. I mean, you know, if you're kind of go, oh, that was cool, that special effect, but I don't want to, you know, read too much into it. I wasn't unsatisfied with that episode. I know they've had to jam a lot of stuff into Game of Thrones for the last six episodes, but you know what? They gave us six times 80-minute episodes. That's a lot of entertainment that we got basically for not very much.
And as I said, you asked my impression of that latest episode, and it was, it was a bit over the top, but the whole thing is over the top.
Sure.
So why would you expect anything different? It's a ramp up to a finish. Like, well, that's...
But I would ask those people, and maybe you can weigh in, like, what did you want to see? And I don't care about spoiler alerts, you know, and if you don't know what we're talking about, that's fine. Sometimes people don't. Okay, let's get off Game of Thrones. Where were we going?
Just one thing I will say. Bill Brio, speaking of him, he sat in here the other day and had a recommend, which was Dead to Me, starring Christina Applegate. I started watching it. It's pretty good, eh?
If you and I were the type of guys that high-fived, I would high-five you.
Yeah.
Because I started watching it last night, too.
Interesting. And it's only like 27-minute segments, and... Yeah, it's...
Did you get past the first episode?
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting, huh?
Mm-hmm. I watched three last night.
So I just started the second one, and I started to get a little sleepy.
Yeah.
But isn't that interesting? Because I was kind of looking around for someone to see last night. I watch in the evenings during the week of a major, the Golf Channel does great coverage. So I watch every night.
Oh, I bet.
This is lame, but I watch from 7 to 9 live from the PGA Championship. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, oh, well, maybe I'll check out that Dead to Me. And I was kind of like, till, you know, wasn't really sure it was going to be for me until it got to the end of this first episode. Mm-hmm. And I was like, ooh, mm-hmm. I never saw that coming.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that, too. He said there's a little cliffhanger at the end of every episode.
Yeah, and it's, believe me, it's not the greatest series I've seen. Mm-hmm. But... recommended by Bill Brio, widely known Canadian TV critic, and it's okay. It's like I will watch more today. It wasn't one of those where it's like, nah, you know, when you move on.
As long as the plot can be followed, right? That's what matters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you got to say, sister?
Well, I've been getting into this Anthony Bourdain obsession. I've been watching a lot of, you know, the 8 seasons of his show on Netflix, right? Just before he, you know, left our
What was the name of that series, Phil?
Oh, bugger, what was it called? I just don't remember, actually. I skip the intro usually. Parts Unknown, yes.
Yeah.
And so the family's starting to get addicted, too, because I showed them the Vietnam episode where he was dining with Barack Obama. And so they're like, oh, my God, this guy's, you know, eating with the U.S. president at the time. I'm like, yep. And he's eating stuff we know. Yes. So they've been watching the episode on Myanmar and, you know, countries we'll never go to, that sort of thing. So that's rather nice.
Mm-hmm. You know, I just wonder because, you know, I've made this joke a bunch of times how Netflix, because, you know, they have our emails, will email inbound saying, hey, Fred, hey, Howard, Phil, mm-hmm. you know, here's a show that we think you'll like. Mm-hmm. And then I click on it and I put it on my list. And I realized the other night that I might not live long enough to get through my list. Like, my list is ridiculous.
Definitely.
Like, and I had made the joke that, you know, come on, Netflix, give me a chance to catch up.
Right.
Like, there's so many things that I like on that service. I know we always chat about how maybe there's nothing to see, but even this series Dead to Me.
No, there's lots to see. It's making a decision on what to watch.
Well, because you're making a decision. As opposed to watching one and then a week later watching another, you're making a decision to suck up another couple of days of your viewing, and so it's hard to commit to that.
Mm-hmm.
So stop recommending.
One thing I will say, this has been a great spring for binge watching. Because
mm-hmm.
seriously, if the weather was decent or normal, what it should be, I would not have been watching that show last night. I wouldn't have been. I'd be outside.
If I didn't have just one arm, I don't know what I'd do. How long will you give it? So... Let's say, because you made a reference to kind of like not sure if you're, like when you were going to bail on a series. What will you give it? Will you give it an episode or two?
What?
Before you'll decide to stick with something or to bail on it?
I think you know, you sort of know yourself and what you like and what. Yeah. Like the amazing, but see, often I take a couple of runs at stuff too. I'll watch mm-hmm. something and think, I don't know, and not go back to it. And then people rave about it, like mm-hmm. Game of Thrones. And like, I'm going to revisit the one, the amazing Mrs. Maisel or whatever that.
Oh, right, on Amazon Prime.
The one that you recommended.
I loved it.
And a good buddy of mine loved it. And I thought, boy, what did I miss? I got to give it a shot. It won't be till the fall now, but.
Well, I mentioned, mm-hmm. too, that series, I wrapped it up, Tim Robinson's I Think You Should Leave. They're 15-minute mm-hmm. sketches and really, really well done. What famous actor? Oh, Tim, I was going to say
Tim
Conway died. We were talking about sketch comedy and how it's not really a thing anymore other than Saturday Night Live. But this Tim Conway was such a big part of our youth. We'll get to that story.
Mm-hmm. Science, he really was.
Sean Sargent is in charge of science and... He's let me just turn that off, put it on. Sean's got some science stories. We mentioned the PGA Championship starts tomorrow. This was part of that whole reconfiguration of the season. This is the first time they've moved this tournament to May since like sometime in the 40s or 50s. I don't know, Fred.
Was this the tournament that John Daly was going to be driving?
So John Daly won the 1991 PGA Championship. It was the stuff of legends, Sean. Do you know the story of John Daly?
He's my kind of golfer. I do know about John Daly. He enjoyed his after game time.
I'll tell you two stories. I'll tell you two stories about John Daly. I'll tell you the second story first.
Okay.
So I'm hosting a tournament here at a golf course called Angus Glen. It was a big charity tournament, huge sponsors, and they brought in John Daly as the celebrity guest. And I was the host. And I was working for some of these really nice people, and they were sort of, I was playing golf the same day, and John was out there. And at one point, one of the organizers came to me on the golf course and said, John wants to sing. I said, what? Do you know this story?
I think I've heard it, but I can't remember it, like many things.
So they came to me and they said, they were sort of updating that night's schedule, but the one guy I was working for, who I now work for at ClubLink, ran out to the golf course. He goes, Daly wants to sing. What are we going to do? I go, I think you should let him sing. He goes, you don't understand it. He said he's had a Mike's Hard Lemonade per hole. We're like on about the 15th or 16th hole, so we all have played the same number of holes. He goes, the dude he's had a Mike's Hard every hole. So the first part of the story is, okay, so that's that story. That night, and then the worst part was, so he gets in this big tent that we have. There's hundreds of people, and I've introduced John Daly coming up to say a few words, and he brings his guitar. And this is terrible. It was a charity for, you know, to raise money for some childhood disease, and they had one of the kids who has, well, I couldn't tell you the disease, who had the disease, mm-hmm. and he was there at the golf tournament. And I thought it couldn't get any more bizarre than John Daly singing a country song. But then he asked the kid to come up on stage.
Oh, that's great. That's
was
terrible.
Just like one of those moments was just like, and I'm thinking, John Daly's had nearly 18 Mike's Hard Lemonade at this point. I just thought, okay, well, this is going to happen. Let's have a look. Yeah. Here I am. So there's John Daly, big fat country boy, singing a country song to some poor kid, just looking up at him.
Wait, that was a treat for the child.
Yeah. Make a wish.
Here, this will make you feel better. Come on up here. Better. And let me sing to you through 18 mics. Right.
So think about how embarrassed you felt just hearing that. Imagine seeing it. It's just one of those things where you're watching them, like, mm-hmm. and there, it literally is one of those big corporate events where a bunch of people are with a lot of money in the room. Obviously, they jetted John Daly up there. He was probably $100,000 for the day. And there he is, hammered, singing his country. By the way, best part, song he wrote.
Oh,
song
crap.
He wrote. In fact, when he said, I'm going to do a song I wrote, I went, well, this just got way better.
My breakout moment.
Thank God I'm a golfer.
When you hear a drunken golfer say, I'm going to do a song for little Billy here, and it's something I wrote myself, you're like, well, this can't get any better.
And what was Billy's ailment?
I don't remember.
Billy, halfway through the line, Billy's going, take me back to the hospital. Please. Take me back to the home.
I've suffered enough.
Sounds better.
Just when I thought things couldn't get any worse.
I thought I was going to watch him play golf and
here's
play guitar with him.
So here's the first John Daly story. In 1991, John Daly had some kind of partial status on the PGA Tour, but enough status to have qualified as an alternate for the PGA Championship. Mm-hmm. A guy pulls out at the last minute, a very famous golfer named Nick Price. And Nick Price's caddy, Squeaky, I still remember his name, he ends up caddying for John Daly, who gets into the tournament because his regular guy, Nick Price, world-famous golfer, has to pull out of the tournament. Daly drives all night from wherever in Hogwarts, Arkansas, that he lives.
Hackensack.
Hackenhart, whatever, some hog town. Drives all night to the site. Picks up this caddy from Nick Price, who's not playing in the tournament, and then goes on to win it.
Wow.
Like, it's the stuff of legends. Like, it's it would be like if a guy that was playing for the Marlies got called up to the team at the last minute and is the hero of the game. It was went from obscurity to worldwide fame. Part of the reason was no one had ever seen a big fat guy hit a ball like that. And he wasn't that fat back in the day. He only won two majors. He won the 91 PGA Championship, and I think he won the 90-something British Open.
Yeah, but that's huge, really.
It is.
To win two majors.
Like, two majors get you in the Hall of Fame. It's sort of standard. You win more than one, you're in the Hall of Fame. Anyway, that's John Daly. And he's now taking a cart. You explain that part.
He's now what?
The controversy is now he's taking a cart during this championship. He got a... You don't hear that story?
No, I haven't heard that story. You have to tell me that one, too.
Are you okay if I go to a third John Daly story?
Yeah, of course.
Did you bring his guitar?
So there's
this is a current story?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
So only one other time in the history of major championship golf has a golfer been given a dispensation or whatever, an arrangement to take a cart, and that was a kid named Casey Martin, who was born with a disease where his legs started to get smaller as he grew up, and he couldn't walk.
Right.
So he got in through the Americans with Disabilities Act. I'm only laughing because Daly applied for the same thing.
And based on what?
Based on he's got some kind of osteoarthritis in his knee, but too bad. You know, no offense, but you weren't born with it, but because of the Americans with Disabilities Act, he applied through that, and they gave him a pass. They want him there as part of the, you know, he's won the 1991 championship, blah, blah, blah.
I remember that. I never really agreed with that. Because the rules are the rules. And it seems odd that they would change the rules, because they let that kid take the cart, right?
They did.
Yeah.
But you there's the rules, and then there's the freedom of whatever, you know, the freedom to be on the same level as other athletes.
No, I understand that, but it's so hard to apply that to almost any other sport.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, I know.
How would that, you know what I mean? What would be a comparison in another sport?
There is none.
Yeah. It's, so for that reason, I remember that time, I remember that controversy of the time, thinking, you know, I feel bad for the guy, but I don't really agree with this, because the competition is what it is, and if you're not up to it, you're not up to it, unfortunately.
So I know the current players aren't really excited about having John Daly riding around in a cart, and Tiger in his press conference yesterday, they said, what do you think about John Daly and taking a cart? Tiger pauses, and he goes, well... I played a major with a broken leg, and I walked.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I have to say about that.
Right.
In 2008, he wins the U.S. Open with a broken tibia or some crap.
Oh, he's Superman.
Well, that was before his wife hit him with a 9-iron.
Right.
Oh, he was Superman, then just became like a regular guy like everyone else. Mm-hmm.
And speaking of Tiger, he's in the news. And it's not very good.
Why don't you hold that till we go to our little break? There you go. There's a good segment.
Yes.
Segue.
We should talk about that.
Do you have time for us to talk a little bit about Gig Sky? Would you mind?
Hi.
in about a minute and a half, we're going to take our first break.
Yeah, the Gig Sky hotspot. You've heard us talk about it. Now you can have one at a greatly reduced price. Yes. They usually sell for $199.99. Now you get $70 off, $129.99. They're fantastic, you know, with the travel season coming up summer. You know, say you got a big family, you want to go to Europe or something. Well, you buy the cheap data, and then everybody can hook up to the Gig Sky hotspot, up to 32 people. I don't imagine your family's that big, but hey, you might be traveling with a group. Anyway, it works. It works. And it's a great deal. Go to GigSky.com to find out how you can take advantage of this deal. Or HumbleAndFredRadio.com. Click on the GigSky badge and find out how you can get the hotspot deal.
Hotspot. Hamilton Film Studios, Phil.
Hamilton.
It's our kind of town.
Hey.
I want to get a studio near the Hamilton sign.
It's our kind of town.
Hamilton Film Studios on Wellington Street North, just outside of downtown Hamilton, 4,000 square feet of shooting space. This is where you want to go if you're sick of the grind of the big city. Make sure you take your production to Hamilton. Ask about HFS's Expendables and Rental Store. Hamilton Film Studios on Wellington Street North. Hamilton Film Studios, HamiltonFilmStudios.com. All right, yeah, Tiger's in, I don't know, but I guess he's in trouble. I guess you would say. Trouble. There's trouble. There's controversy, as you said.
He's going to have to deal with it.
We'll tell you what that story is. Also, Sean's got some science stories, and there was a triple murder in Germany, and they used a medieval
device.
I didn't even think of it.
We're live on Canada's funniest comedy superstation, and of course at humbleandfredradio.com. Listening to the Humble and Fred Show. I know that comes as a surprise to some people. Listen, we're still here, doing what we can. 1-833-437-8465. The retirement Sherpa coming up. Theo Tam, former winner of
Canadian Idol.
Yeah. And a friend of ours from Slate Music, FYI Music News. And someone else is on the show today, Phil.
Oh, yes. Jeff Leeson.
Oh, you're right.
Yes, he's back.
Very funny comedian.
Yeah.
You were talking about some controversy surrounding Tiger Woods and one of his restaurants he owns in Florida called The Woods, I think it's named.
Yeah. There's a kid who worked there, and apparently one night after work, they get into the sauce, drinking and what have you. The kid left the facility and was killed. I imagine was impaired, and now the family is coming back and suing Tiger and the restaurant corporation, and even Tiger's girlfriend, who's the manager of the restaurant. Not unique. I mean, you know, we even have those situations here in Ontario where, you know, you are liable. An establishment is liable for the welfare of someone leaving the facility if they've had too much to drink.
Absolutely.
But in this case, I think you made the point, Howard, before the show that, you know, you see Tiger, you know, Tiger Woods, you see dollar signs, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's not, I'm not saying that the family's not without cause. The kid worked there. Nicholas Immisberger is his name. He was 24. I think he was a bartender. And his family's saying, you know, he had an alcohol problem. And that the restaurant, knowing that, continued to let him
serve alcohol.
Be served alcohol.
As well.
And again, I don't know all the details, and of course I love Tiger, so I want the best for him. And I don't want this kind of distraction on the eve of the PGA Championship.
Well, and he's been sued for what's the actual charge is
wrongful death.
Wrongful death. Which is something he's going to have to deal with. I mean, this isn't a jail sentence situation. He's being sued.
Right. Probably his insurance. His restaurant insurance.
Yeah. You know, this might be one of those situations where compensate and move on. You don't want this dragging on forever. But I guess, you know, his advisors, his lawyers will probably size it up and say, you know, here's the probability of being
Convicted.
If that's the word, in a suing case, yeah.
But, you know, I'm reading the article now. I'm curious what you think about this, because it alleges that the employees knew the kid attended, you know, AA meetings and had another alcohol-related crash. He sat there drinking at the bar. His shift ended at 3. Apparently, he sat there drinking all afternoon and got into a car and then crashed it by himself. But I just wonder, like, at what point are you no longer responsible for people, but...
No, but I can see some liability there. I mean, that's what's probably going to come out in the case, is if they were all aware of the situation, why, knowing, did you let him continue to drink? Why would you serve him being equipped with the knowledge? This isn't just some guy that came in off the street and drank too much.
No. But whether his coworkers know he has a problem.
But even that you're liable for.
Mm-hmm.
Like, somebody you don't know can come in, and if it can be proved that you serve them liquor beyond reason, you're still liable.
And they did. This kid had a blood alcohol level three times the legal limit, 0.256.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're not just slightly inebriated. You shouldn't be even... I'm surprised he was able to negotiate his car.
The only thing I say, it says the lawsuit is seeking in excess of $15,000. That must be a base or something, because I would think if they're going through this exercise, they want a lot more than $15,000.
Oh, absolutely.
Are you serious? I don't see that here.
Well, it's the one.
Unless that's the state fine. Like, let's say the government wants $15,000.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking at Fox News, of course. It's
could it be $15 million?
Like, funny, I've got a couple and my story here is from the CNN site. So
mine's the Fox News, and you can never believe anything on Fox.
That's
so
true. Could be $15 for all we know.
Yeah.
Is Trump ever going to show us his tax returns?
No.
You know that?
It's just a game with him now.
But what's been leaked is how little he paid, how much money he lost. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't want... It's pride. You know, that Stern thing you sent me about him being interviewed on the CBS Morning mm-hmm. thing, and he refers to Trump as someone that was a great radio guest. But when Trump called Stern for his endorsement... Mm-hmm. Stern said he couldn't give it to him. Mm-hmm. And he made a good point. He said, I don't know why he'd leave Mar-a-Lago. Mm-hmm. He said, I've been there. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, at your age, why wouldn't you just golf every day and run your little businesses? But, you know, he's a special breed. He's different. But, yeah, it's just a game now with Trump and the tax returns.
Mm-hmm. Has nothing to do with the numbers in it. But you already know.
And you know, those who argue in his defense, by the way, that recent New York Times story about him losing all his money and being... Apparently, it's all there in his books. It's nothing new. He's admitted to it before. I don't know. I'm not defending the guy, but like in The Art of the Deal and stuff beyond that, like he's said, yeah, I was... And they have clips of him saying, yeah, I was down and out. I was in big trouble. And I... battled my way back. So,
yeah. Well, there you go. So that's our Tiger Woods coverage for now. Tiger tees off tomorrow morning at a very famous golf course in the New York State area, in the New York City area. It's been there for a very long time. And it's like an 80-year-old site, but they didn't really have a major championship there until I think Tiger won the 2002 U.S. Open there. But it's really unique. It's a New Yorkers golf course that it's called Bethpage Black, and it's been Bethpage Provincial State Park. And they have a sign there that said Bethpage Black, because there's a bunch of different courses, but the black course is like a black diamond in skiing, right? It says it's only for highly skilled players. Like, they literally, if you're a noob golfer, they won't let you on the golf course. It's one of the toughest golf courses, and it'll be interesting to see how...
Could you play it with one hand?
Yes. I was going to apologize to you about
Why?
That, by the
Why?
Way. I felt bad.
Why?
Because I told my friend yesterday...
It was funny.
I said to my friend yesterday, we're talking... I was at Palma Pasta for lunch, and I told him about my shoulder, and I said, well, I had this little bit with you, because he's seen you golf.
Mm-hmm. He has?
Yeah, it's my buddy Paul.
Oh, okay, right.
And I said, I said I was having a little fun with Fred, and I said to him, I said, I think I could beat Fred with one arm. And I feel bad about that, because that's not fair to say to a grown man. And he said, well, I think you can, too.
That's funny.
But, no,
Wait,
I think...
When did I golf with him?
One of the times we took you out.
All right.
I know you've golfed with this character.
Uh-huh.
Look at this beautiful man.
Good morning.
Hi. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I was up a little late last night. I was in Port Credit with some great clients, long-term, just awesome people.
Hold on. Tim's going to need a minute. Hang on.
Something went down the wrong way.
Yeah. He got emotional talking about... it's okay. Take your time and turn the mic off.
Tim, don't die on our show.
Yeah, please.
Oh, on second thought.
No. Yeah, don't die on
If
our
you're
show.
Going to.
Yeah. Timmy, okay? Can we get
Timmy.
Mr. Tim some water? Please, people.
Oh, my Lord.
Do you want to go start again?
What happened? Did that coffee hit the back of your throat, right?
Well, you were so emotional over that whole thing, right?
Yeah.
First time ever for that one there. Anyhow, I was in Port Credit, so I was up a little later than normal and then up a little earlier than normal. So now I'm choking and mumbling and good morning.
Anyway.
I'm just wondering why, with all due respect, why an alcoholic works at a bar. That's very strange.
Well, I think a lot of alcoholics work at bars, to tell you the truth. I think that industry is filled with people that either you develop a drinking issue Or you have an issue, and that's why you work at bars. But I don't know.
You'd think somewhere along the line, you know, if he was involved sort of in therapy or whatever, they might say you might want to not have that temptation. But then he might counter with, I need the job. But anyway, Tiger's got to deal with it now. But as I say, you know, he should find out, you know, what are we talking, and then just deal with it and move on. Because there'll probably be some, given the circumstance of what we've heard, I'm sure there is some liability there.
Yeah. Yeah, and whether it was Tiger Woods or someone else, and you don't even need, the thing is, you don't even need to be in the restaurant as the owner of the establishment to be liable in the lawsuit.
And so, how callous does it look if he fights it, based on what we've heard?
Well, I don't know. Well, let's talk to this character. Sir, are you ready for your appearance?
Yes, I am.
Excellent.
Did I not see your name on Ladies Night Tonight?
No, I've...
You're injured, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had to pull out of a bunch of big tournaments.
Yeah, I heard that. That's good.
That, yesterday was a tournament I qualified for only one other time, and that was 20 years ago. That was the one that kind of stung a little bit, because you only qualify for it by winning a club championship, and you don't do that very often. It's hard to win in this game. And it was funny because it kind of hit me yesterday. I was like, oh, yeah, I won't really have a chance to play in this again unless I win again. So that was a drag. I had to cancel Ladies Night today. Tomorrow I had another big tournament. Then I was going to go to St. Thomas, Ontario, and play another tournament I play in every year. But at some point, as Fred pointed out, you know, you just got to let it. I got to rest it for at least a week, maybe 10 days.
I told him make it 20.
No, I know.
Seriously.
Well, I was 3 months off last year, right, from July on, because of my back, and it was just horrible. And now I'm as fine, if not better, as before. Whether that's good or not is another issue, but, you know, virtually no back problems. But, yeah, it's just tough to give it a rest sometimes, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure. And what I've done to it is, you know, like I feel on Monday sitting here, I couldn't pick up my coffee cup. So I've had another cortisone shot, and now I'm going to get some physio. But, like, I feel like I could play today. But as my doctor said, you know, yeah, you could play, but you can't move your arm properly, and you're only going to hurt it. So I'm going to be fine. You know, I feel much better. I mean, at least I can sleep now, and I can sort of raise my arm a little bit.
You know, if these tournaments, and I know it's whatever it is. I mean, if this was your living, I could see, but you've got to eat it.
It's
and you got to suck it up and rest.
Passion.
Well, no, I know, but the thing is that passion could be impeded ongoing if he doesn't shut her down and rest it and heal it.
Yes.
And then long term, he can enjoy himself.
Enjoy.
If you keep just riding that line and aggravating, it'll go on forever.
I will
listen to your life coach.
No, I know.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, easy now.
I could be his life coach.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I know you could.
I sort of have been over the past 30
100%.
Years. I have.
But he keeps telling me never to leave my house. I go, but coach.
But coach.
But coach.
There's a world out
there's
there.
A world. Hey, everybody. Let's say hello to Tim Niblett. He's a portfolio manager, Raymond James, a member of the Canadian Investors Protection Fund. Let us talk then. Portfolio opportunities versus certainty. Timothy?
Yes. Well, I'm sure my pal Fred was kind of paying attention to his portfolio the last little bit there with the China Joy and the aforementioned Donald Trump creating waves. And, you know, it's a good time to kind of revisit everybody's portfolio. And are you comfortable with what's happened recently? It's been a heck of a run-up, as Howard's mentioned before, for the year since about December, I think 20th last year.
Fantastic.
Things have really been rocking and rolling. So everybody's portfolio should have a certain amount of opportunity in it, a certain amount of certainty in it. And that's different for everybody.
What was the hit over the past week or so? It was like over 2%, wasn't it, in Canada here?
Well, it probably would have been. I mean, Canada wasn't going down as much as the U.S. was.
Uh-huh.
The other day, Boeing and Apple, I think, accounted for 40% of the drop in the Dow just because of the size and the weighting in the index. So, you know, when you see in the paper what the index has done or here on the radio, whatever it is, that's not necessarily representative, of course, of your portfolio. And if you've got a good portfolio, then it's not going to have dropped as much anyhow.
Because my life coach here has been mentioning some consternation around the portfolio. Mm-hmm. And I can't, it's funny that 2 days ago you were talking about it, and I got my Raymond James statement. And I will tell you, the preservation of capital was quite impressive. And I mean that. Like, I had a great January, February, March, but April was pretty decent, even with the downturn. I know the downturn has just been recent.
Yeah, you won't see that 2 years next.
But as Tim said, that drop in the Dow, 40% of it was two stocks. So it may not represent entirely what you lost in your specific portfolio. But those are the reasons you have a guy like Tim.
Absolutely. And I've been looking at, I haven't looked too much for the last day or two, just been busy with appointments. But the clients I was looking at, they're up for the month already anyhow. So, you know, it's been like this for centuries. I had some great clients in yesterday. They're early 80s. She's a corker, just a great lady. And she's like, well, August 16th, I was this much. And now I'm like, okay, I get it, but you're up 8.53% in a conservative portfolio for the last 10 years compounded. Mm-hmm. So what it was on April or August or whatever 12th doesn't really matter a heck of a lot.
So what does an 80-year-old, is that a sizable portfolio too without giving too much away? Like,
it's hundreds of thousands, yeah.
So at 80 years old, you're still, you know, you're managing it for...
Well, so we had that discussion.
In case they live to 90.
Well, we had... So at that age, and we had this discussion yesterday, to some degree, you're also managing it for the beneficiaries, right?
Yes.
First and foremost, that's it should what be gonna, what's right for the clients. Mm-hmm. But we contrasted, even on $100,000, if they'd put it all in GICs because they were 70 years old and the world was going to end, they got to be conservative. 2% a year, 10 years, it would have been $122,000 or whatever the number was. They were over 8%, but we'll just say at 8% for the same decade from 70 to 80, 215,000 or whatever the number was, right? So, you know, what we talk about, what's conservative, what's risky, what's safe, it's kind of a semantics thing because arguably it's riskier to not have your money grow at all.
Mm-hmm. And that's your, in this note you sent us, that would be an example of offense on defense. I mean, you could say, oh, I need to be very conservative, but you could actually screw yourself by being too conservative because of the gains you're missing out on.
Right, and classically your conservative investments, especially outside of an RSP, are interest bearing, so it's fully taxable. And if inflation's going up at all, which of course it does, you know, you're arguably going to be losing paste inflation after tax every year. That doesn't sound too safe and secure to me at all.
What is Sharpe ratio?
So I'll probably talk about liquid alternatives next week, but I just had to write
an
exam. Yes, I know. People have been clamoring for it,
people
actually.
Are saying, when? I got to know.
Is this a week?
Is this the week that Timothy does liquid alternatives? I'm saying, hang on. 8 more sleeps.
Yeah, I had the pleasure of spending another $250, another hour or two doing an exam for liquid alternatives, and we were talking about Kurtz and all kinds of crazy stuff. But a Sharpe ratio, thankfully, is a little simpler than that. Some guy called Sharpe forever ago created this measurement of how many units of reward are you getting per unit of risk you're taking.
So say that again. How many units of reward in an investment, you mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so what would your return be based on the volatility? Risk is always volatility, but arguably it's opportunity as well, right? Mm-hmm. So it would say, you know, if you've got an investment that just goes up and down like crazy, you're only making 5% a year on it, well, it's probably not worth it because you're taking on too much risk for the return you're getting. So Sharpe created this ratio, and that's our kind of holy grail or nirvana. We try to create as much return for the client with as little risk as possible.
And listen, if nothing else, the takeaway today is don't be too conservative. And even in volatile times, you want to have a nice balance between opportunity and certainty. But one thing that is certain, when you have the opportunity to speak to this gentle giant, this jolly fellow, that is a day well spent, my friends. Tim.niblett or RaymondJames.ca. Do you not say hear, hear and concur?
Oh, most assuredly.
All right.
Most assuredly.
All right. Raymond James, he's a Canadian Investors Protection guy, portfolio manager. That's your Tim. Phil, do you have any questions for Tim before we let him choke his way out of here?
Is there a math equation? No.
It's
I'm good.
I was going to have to call my daughter about this statistics stuff they were asking, right? She's a PhD, and so I thought, well, this is an open book exam. Maybe I'll give Sarah a call and ask her what a Kurtzerwammer or whatever is. Yeah. I thought that was kind of wine. I didn't know what it was.
Love algebra.
Phil is in the process of spending over $20,000 US on his wedding.
Yes.
He's going to finance himself. Tell him that money could be better spent elsewhere.
Probably. compound interest.
Oh, I've seen The Lovely Pearl. I think you're making a good decision.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Thank you. Well, my my future investment is in a human, of course.
That's lovely, human. Mm. That'll just keep growing and growing.
Concrete investment.
Opportunity versus certainty.
Less risk.
Mary Pearl boyfriend. All right, Timothy, always a pleasure to see you. I don't know when I'll be back there. I'm not going to play today. I'm taking the rest of this week off. I've got a pretty big tournament I'm supposed to qualify for a week from tomorrow, but I don't think I'm going to play. I'm hosting a tournament for Club Link on Tuesday, and then I'm hosting one for our friends at the Chamber Plan, the Tanner Financial Group. I'm hosting one for them on Wednesday, but I'm not going to play. So I won't see you at Ladies' Night or the Saturday Morning Girls Get-Together.
Well, Twitch it is, and if you have a Pac-Man tournament, I'll join in.
Okay, man.
There he is, Timmy.
Right on, man.
Tim. He's a good boy. Tim.
Got worried about him there at the beginning of the appearance, though, because, like, I love the guy, but I'm not Heimlicking him.
I would.
Yes.
Heimlich?
Yeah.
Well, that's just... The Heimlich's just the...
I know what the Heimlich is.
Oh, I see what...
Goddamn doctor.
I play on words. Yeah. I'm thinking, why wouldn't you get behind the guy?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. I'm thinking, Heimlich isn't mouth to mouth.
No, no.
Yeah. That's one where you have to really say, go, yeah, I think I got to do this.
That's a lick-lick.
I think I got to put my mouth on another man's mouth. But I got to save his life.
Anyway,
one thing we haven't had though ever is someone die right on the show.
Oh no, that's true. Yeah.
We've had people leave and then die.
Right. I'm betting it'll be one of us. We've had several people die after appearing on the show. Right. No offense, Tim. Mm-hmm. Hey, speaking of finance, why don't we talk a little bit about our friends at LFS? I had a chance to put Michelle in touch with a friend of mine at Ready Machinery, people that do grown-up work, Tim and Tom Southcott.
Yep, requiring equipment.
And hopefully there's some synergies, as they say in business, between... I put Michelle Levesque in, with Tom Southcott. Well, that'll be interesting. anyway, let's just take a second and talk about these fine folks.
Yeah, if you're like Tim and Tom and you need a piece of equipment and you don't want to tie up existing capital, talk to LFS Credit and Finance Solutions. Go to creditfinance.ca. Get all the information you need on how to get that piece of equipment that can help your company make the next step up. And again, you know, you can lease it or a loan involved. You don't have to use your own capital. It really makes sense if that's what you want. Creditfinance.ca, LFS Credit and Finance Solutions. And the deal is still on from now till the end of this month when referencing Humble and Fred, the savings between $150 to $750 depending on the deal size. Creditfinance.ca.
Yeah, well said. Well said. Are you using cannabis the way you should be? Well, with the free Strain Print Companion app, that'll help you learn how much more rewarding and beneficial your experience can be. The app is easily downloaded for free on the Apple or Google Play Store. Get loyalty points called Strain Points and visit to find out, you know, whether it's for you or somebody that's in your family suffering from migraines or insomnia, inflammation, or any other of the thousands of symptoms that have been, you know, gone through the Strain Print filter, 350 of them. StrainPrint.ca. StrainPrint.ca. Well, this is exciting. This kid, Jeff Leeson, we met him when he was just a baby. Like years ago, he came on the show and he had a podcast in our old studio, and then he went off to seek his fame and fortune, and now he's selling out comedy clubs and shows all across the country. He's one of the good ones. We're going to talk to him about his big Toronto show coming up and his national comedy tour, Grandma Used to Heckle Me. He's a good boy, is what I'm trying to say.
That's great. Grandma. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, there's all sorts of stuff. And then Theo Tam. Is it Tams or
Tam? I think it's Tams with an S, isn't it?
Theo Tams on our show. Yes, it is. Former Canadian Idol winner hanging out in our studio. This is the Humble and Fred Show on Comedy Super Comedy.
Super Comedy! Super Laugh!
He's so.
I apologize. On Comedy's founding station.
Comedy Queensway.
2820.
The Comedy
Comedy Queensway.
That's right. It's Humble and Fred Radio. Southern Ontario live for the first time since 2005. That's the truth. Here on Canada's Comedy Superstation, Funny 820, and on Twitch Television, produced by the Georgetown's finest, Sean Sargent, standing by. Maybe some science if we have time today, although I'm not sure if we will because we won't be doing a podcast extra today, Freddie, because we're going to be playing video games for the kids on Twitch to watch. Isn't that what everyone's been asking for, Sean? 750 million subscribers to Amazon, and all they've been saying is, when can old white people play video games, and when can we watch them?
When we can get those legendary Humble and Fred on the Twitch.
And we're playing an NBA game today?
You are. Little sports action, pre-game sports.
So we're going to do our version of the Cavs and Raps.
No, Bucks.
Bucks and Cavs. Bucks and Cavs?
Milwaukee Bucks.
Bucks and Bows.
And Toronto Raptors.
Bucks and Raps.
Not the Cavs.
Who?
Not the Cavs.
No Cavs.
No.
Not yet.
The 76ers and the Bucks. Anyway, you're going to be the Raptors. I'm going to be the Bucks.
I want to be Kawhi. Oh, I'd love to be Kawhi.
You can be Kawhi.
You're like you're like Brampton's white Kawhi.
Am I?
Yeah.
I'd love that. Just think of that guy. He's going to sign a 5-year contract with the Raptors for $190 million. Not bad, eh?
What would your base?
Do you think that will look after his grandma? Huh?
What if you're Kawhi? What's your basement buzzer beater? Like, what's your version of like? Oh, I got to the bathroom just before I peed myself. Or
that's
something.
It. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's my buzzer. Yeah.
you felt a little twitch, and you were like, I got to get to the bathroom before I buzzer.
Yeah. Or I'm not paying attention, the buzzer goes off, and I soil myself. Yeah.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
There you go, Jeff Leeson. There you go.
Oh, and Jeff Leeson, we'll get to him in a second.
Welcome to the show, Jeff.
Yeah. So you're saying that you would just have to get there and before you had an accident.
Yes. Accidents will happen.
Hey, listen. Welcome back to our program. He came to us as a young. One day, someone said, "Hey, there's a basket outside the door," and it was a tiny puppy, and that puppy's name was Jeff Leeson.
Yeah.
And from those humble beginnings, he's grown into quite a broadcaster. Actually came to us. You guys were producing a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Jeff and Lars. Just pull that thing a little closer there. Anyway, and from, you know, it was one of those things. We had given our studio to a lot of different people, and sometimes it was successful, sometimes it wasn't. Jeff, of course, a stand-up comic at the time. He put together a bunch of stuff. Anyway.
That would go right back, I think, to 2012, right, is when you first started coming around?
Oh, yeah.
But it first came around. We thought we were, like, buddies and stuff, and then, you know, Jeff went off to seek his fame, his fortune. And, of course, here on his, what I love, too, though, and I just... I don't want to dwell on the fact that, you know, all the things it says Jeff's done doesn't mention the Humble and Fred Show, but that's fine. I mean, I guess Bob and Tom, they're pretty popular. Jeff's stand-up has been featured on Sirius XM Radio, The Bob and Tom Show, MTV and iChannel. His improvisational style made him the perfect fit to host London Tonight with Jeff Leeson. It was the perfect fit because your name was in the title.
Yeah, that's how it worked out, actually. Yeah, they named it first and then asked me if I'd do it.
That's right. They were looking for a guy named Jeff Leeson.
Yeah.
You know, bios like this aren't going to get us into the Hall of Fame, Howard.
No, they're not.
No.
But here he is. He's back. And I had a chance to see Jeff's... What's the name of the stand-up special where you just do the entire thing?
Oh, Off the Cuff.
Off the Cuff.
Yeah.
Listen, a lot of people think they can do crowd work, but no one does it like this kid. Jeff Leeson, everybody.
Woo!
Jeff Leeson. So, Bob and Tom, who are they?
Oh, they're these two guys that...
Yeah. Where are they from?
They're from Chicago, Indianapolis, something like that.
Really?
One of those two, yeah. Yeah, they do what you guys do, really, but in the States. That's it. That's all.
Interesting.
That, I didn't write that. For the record, that yeah. I didn't write
Who
that.
Who wrote that, for the record?
I'm not sure, but I would have...
You might want to talk to them.
I will.
Say, hey, next time I'm going on a radio show...
There's an angry email getting sent out.
Next time I'm on a radio show...
Oh, yeah, you know what? There's an angry email being sent out. You don't have to write it. He will.
That's right. Good. I'll forward it for you.
It's okay, Hal.
I don't know why I bother. I really don't.
I've really upset you. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Why do we bother?
It's not how I want it.
But seriously, why do I bother?
We should just do the show in a closet. For you and I.
You know what? In the end, can it just be you and I talking? Here's the thing. When you retire, just let's do it once in a while.
From a shed.
From a shed.
Yeah.
So we don't have to deal with all this other stuff. Because it's the other stuff that makes it awkward.
Anyway, when you say crowd work, I know you know, what does that mean exactly?
Why don't you describe that
for the people out there who might be wondering?
Because you don't really do any set material anymore.
Right, right. Yeah, what I like to do is create a show on the fly and based on the people. So I'll ask a series of questions, let's say, or I'll do a comment on something somebody's wearing, but not in a negative way. This is the difference between what I do and what other people do. Is mm-hmm. a lot of people that do crowd work, they insult the audience, or they make them feel bad or something like that. That's not really what I'm trying to do. Mine's more about creating like a unique show that's personal to every crowd, so that when they come and they see the show and they leave, they go, wow, I literally will never see that again. That was for us.
More a feel-good thing.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Right. Very much about building people up instead of, cutting them down.
Yeah, I like what you said. Back in the 80s when I was doing this full-time, that was kind of the tone of the crowd work, and I never did that. I was never comfortable going, hi, what's your name? What do you do now? Let me insult you.
Right, right.
Find out what you did for a living so I could make fun of it somehow. I never was comfortable in it. That antagonistic performer-audience relationship, I didn't like it.
Well, does that not leave a lot of the audience sometimes in fear, like, oh, I hope he doesn't look at me.
Absolutely.
I hope he doesn't look at me.
And in Jeff's shows, and I saw that whole special, it was pretty cool.
Thank you.
In your show, it's not that at all. It's more of a drawing out. It's a collaborative affair. Mm-hmm. But as a guy that does this as well, I'm just curious, are there no stock moments? Do you walk out on every show with nothing? You don't do a couple minutes off the top just to get them kind of comfortable with you? Or do you start doing it from the first moment you walk out?
It varies. Sometimes I'll talk about the city or the town, because we go to a lot of like very small towns with you'll notice something on the way in, and then you'll kind of comment about that, get on their side a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But there's nothing where I'm not asking any questions where I know whatever the answer is, I'm going to take it in a certain direction. It's always based, it's really truly always based solely on curiosity for me. I look at somebody and I see something about them that I just want to know something about, and then I trust the instinct from there that I can make it funny.
That takes a lot of balls.
It certainly does, because do you ever go out there and there's just nothing there? Or can you reach back and use something you've used on somebody else before?
Well, that's what I wanted to know.
Yeah,
is there nothing you sort of go, hey, I'm going to start off with a few things that are kind of part of my arsenal?
Yeah, never. No, I don't really. The only thing is plugging in whatever is unique to that town. So there might be stuff I've said before about other places, but it just happens in the moment that it will pop in my mind and be like, oh, I've seen this before. So I know that I can kind of go back and use that in this situation.
That works on every level too, because I know how titillated we get when someone in the States talks about Toronto, or you know what I mean? So when you go into a town and actually pick out something, they appreciate that.
Yeah, they do. And that was my thing. I changed it a few years ago. I was doing just straight material for the first 10, 11 years of my career. Mm-hmm. And a few years ago, I just kind of got bored with what I was saying, and it got, it was mm-hmm. just over and over and over again. So I was like, how can I really make these shows perfect?
personal, so that they really feel like that was their show, is about them. It was their town. A lot of times in small towns, everybody knows each other as well. Mm-hmm. So whoever you're talking to, people are like, "Oh yeah, you're picking on Bob," mm-hmm. you know.
Right.
So that was really.
Bob from the Bob and Tom show.
From the Bob and Tom show. Exactly.
Topeka's rock leader. Topeka is where Bob and Tom are. But I see. I understand why you mentioned them, because Fred, you'll love this. On the Bob and Tom page here, the Hall of Fame morning show.
Really?
Recently inducted into the Radio Hall of Fame. The Bob and Tom show is a favorite of millions.
Agreed. That's
so
true.
There you go. I understand. Now it all makes sense.
Yeah.
When I say it's a ballsy thing to do, you know, like I was talking to you before the break there, I've had a chance to do some longer sets, and I headlined a show last spring and did 45 minutes. But when you walk on stage and you've got, you know, a time to fill,
yeah,
to people that don't do this, they can't understand this feeling. It's all theoretical now, and it's comfortable sitting around talking about it. But when, you know, you're at the Comedy Bar on May 15th, which is tonight,
mm-hmm.
you're going to walk out there, and it's all fun and games now at 8:11 in the morning, but at some point tonight, you're going to have to walk out and know that these people have paid to see you.
Right.
And you have to fill 45 or 50 minutes.
Exactly.
With nothing.
Right. Right. Exactly, yeah. And that's a... Often something I don't really think about, you know, like if you think about it.
I want you to think about it all day now.
Now
so.
I will, for sure. Please. That and Bob and Tom. I'll be thinking about
you're
all
you're never going to hear the end of that.
Yeah, no, never. Yeah. No.
Apparently Bob retired, so it's just Tom now.
Is it just Tom?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Okay.
How do you prepare for that, though? You can't. Is there writing involved?
There's not. Really, mm-hmm. it's clearing my mind. To be honest, is to be in the moment. So not, you know, if I have stuff on my mind or stuff that's stressing me out or whatever, I have to really clear my mind so that I can be 100% in the moment. So that if I see something or something pops in, I can quickly mm-hmm. react.
Like, could you do a few minutes on our insecurity, for example?
Probably.
I mean, one. Yeah. You might say insecurity or just years of outrage. Yeah.
Yeah.
Would this be insecure or would this just be like...
Seems like anger.
I don't know what this is.
Anger, frustration,
disappointment,
yeah. Confusion.
Exasperation.
I don't know. Insecurity. I mean, that's every day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But who isn't insecure?
No.
You know, who amongst us?
No.
Nobody listening.
No.
Do you have openers?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You're going to do how long? 45?
Yeah, I usually do anywhere from 45 to 60.
The reason I ask is because, so somebody's, usually a couple guys will go up and do material, 5 or 10 or 10 or 15 before you. So the show's around, what, 90 minutes?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
So do you say to them, and I say this respectfully, like, do you say, hey, don't do any crowd work because that's going to be my whole show? Conversely, if they don't and they just do material, is that weird too, following, because there's been structure and then all of a sudden there's no structure?
No, I actually prefer to work with and usually book the openers that just do material, so that for the audience, I want the audience to have a well-rounded show. So I want them to see someone go up and do their material, and then another maybe opening 5 to 7 minute act to go up and do their material. And I actually prefer if there's no crowd work at all before
Makes sense.
Me.
Right.
Not that I would ever... I'm not the guy who's like, don't do that.
Yeah, but
don't.
You're the guy doing an hour of crowd work, so you got to
right.
leave that. Let it be unmined.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So I don't mind if the host, for example, says, like, you know, is anybody celebrating anything, or think of that stuff out of the way. But yeah, for the audience particularly, I would like them to walk away seeing a well-rounded show.
Well, I'll tell you what, you're in for a treat. JeffLeesonComedy.com.
How would that transfer, like, if you were going to video or make a show for Netflix or whatever?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? When you know what your material is and you're going out there and you can practice it and you think, oh, okay, this is exactly what the show is going to be like, that would be tough, what you do.
It's very tough.
Because you don't know whether it would be a good show or a bad.
Yeah, and I've done two. I've filmed three specials now, and they're all different. They're all crowd work, but all with a different. They all have like a different theme to them, and they're all very based on the town, the city, or then like we just did one last year called "Grandma Used to Heckle Me," and that was really centered around my family and how I started in comedy and started really young at 14, and how my mom used to drive me to gigs and stuff like that. My grandma used to come and heckle me, and then and that was real. That was a real thing. So it's all kind of centered around that, and then thrown in.
Interesting
work.
Though, as a career, it's interesting that you've set yourself up as this guy, the Jeff Leeson experience, and yet how do you get booked on Just for Laughs? How do you take this and tour it at the Halifax Festival or at the Winnipeg Festival, where they're looking to see how you do, and you're more than qualified for all those things.
Thank you.
But how do you sell what you do, knowing that you've got to go up and do the festival for 7 minutes?
Yeah, you know what? Actually, that has been very tough. The festivals I submit to every year, I've had, you know, a lot of showcases and stuff like that for them that have all gone, in my opinion, very well, good sets, but just haven't booked it or haven't booked me to do the festivals yet. And that's probably a big reason for it is they don't know what
they
don't know what I would do. Yeah, but a lot of times at the festivals and stuff, they'll have a specific crowd work show now, so that is a possible way in. Hopefully.
Well, listen, my friend, you know, here you are. We want you to do well tonight. It's the Comedy Bar Show, the national comedy tour. Grandma Used to Heckle Me, going all over the place. At Jeff Leeson Show on Twitter.
Yep.
And JeffLeesonComedy.com.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that was great. I think we had a nice couple of moments there. There was some awkwardness, which is always good.
Yeah. Once we got past that, though, I think
we're not past that. That is going to be that's going to be good material right here. nothing gets us going then more than being snubbed by someone that we've helped.
Yeah.
That really is what we're talking about.
I know. Like, I know what we're talking about. Yeah.
I think if we just put that out there, even that guy doesn't know us knows that.
Trust me, next time I come back, that will be the first thing in the bio.
Yeah, but what will it mean then? It won't be. It'll be, you know, not genuine.
I don't even know. I'm giving up. As soon as you're ready to go, I'm going. Whatever you want to do. Let's just go.
I'm going to walk off a cliff. How about that?
I'll do it. Thelma and Louise styles.
All right.
we'll Thelma and Louise the crap out of this thing, and we'll go. That'll be enough. I'll just say goodbye. See ya. All right. Remember when I said there was going to be that awkward moment when we say goodbye and then you're not sure if you should go?
Yeah, is that
we're
now?
Not there yet.
Oh, we're not
we're
there yet.
We're just going to torture you a little bit.
Oh, okay.
And then we're going to let you go.
All right. Sounds good, man.
All right. Mm-hmm. What's your name again?
Derek.
Yeah. How are you feeling about all this? Pretty awkward, huh?
Not at all.
Oh, okay. Well, you haven't been paying attention.
Yeah. He never pays attention. Never.
Do you have your phone? You want me to...
You want to take it? Well, we're still broadcasting. That's what we're doing. Yeah. I don't know what you're
is that
up
what
to.
You call this?
We're on the air. Sorry about that. He doesn't.
Oh, that's fine.
He doesn't
know. He doesn't know. I don't know. You don't know. All right. Listen. Are you doing the main room, the big room?
Yeah.
Comedy Bar. That's a weird stage, I find.
Yeah.
Have you done it?
Yeah. A couple times. Yeah.
And I'll say this because I've emceed shows there for Pat McDonald. I've done sets there. So you get good crowds, you know. It's a funny room because it's very narrow and long.
Yeah, yeah.
But I would make sure you get a chance to get up on that stage because where the lights hit you actually makes it hard to see people's faces.
Yeah, it is very dark. Yeah, you're right.
So
yeah.
I would have them set those lights up a bit because the last time I did it, I found myself trying to move ahead of the light so I could see people's faces. It's difficult, but it's a great room.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? Actually, we faced that a few times on the tour, especially at some theaters we've done with the lighting situation.
Because in your case, you got to see people.
Exactly.
And they got to be able to see you reacting to what they're saying.
Absolutely.
Yeah, all right. Jeff Leeson. That's a great
point.
Glad
we had this talk.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you, Jeff Leeson,
thank you, guys.
Everybody. Jeff Leeson. Featured on Sirius XM and the Bob and Tom Show. Very, very exciting. Maybe one day he'll be featured on the Humble and Fred Show.
But the Bob and Tom Show is no longer, from what I read. Bob decided, get a load of this, after 32 years, apparently the day he was inducted into the Radio Hall of Fame, decided to call it quits and retire.
Amazing.
That's a nice way to quote, you know? Isn't mm-hmm. it? It's like winning the Super Bowl and retiring or whatever, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man. Very, very exciting. Where are we at? Rainmaker, could you tell me a little thing about Rainmaker if you have a second? Would you kindly do that? Let me get a little bit of... let me get something up here for you. I have some transition music. Oh, here's something we haven't played in a while.
Rainmaker is Canada's leading cannabis communications agency, known for providing narrative creation, media relations, brand strategy, and advisory services to the most prominent brands in North America and overseas. Rainmaker has an expansive portfolio of clients including O'Cannabis, Vapium, Blockstrain, Tinley Beverages, Origin House, on and on. Really is remarkable. Find Rainmaker on Instagram, Twitter. Oh, yes. The Rainmaker Agency is where to get a hold of them.
Bum, 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 bum. Bum, bum. Let me tell you a quick story. I went to Palma Pasta yesterday. Mm-hmm. I took my buddy Paul.
Did you? And this is where I was the subject of scrutiny?
Well, not really scrutiny. I just said that we'd had the conversation. I don't think I could beat you with one hand. You know.
Are you sure? Well, the fact that it's even a question makes me feel like a little man, but go ahead.
That's true. I'll just leave it alone. It's not a debate we're ever going to have. I look forward to golfing with you with both of my arms. You know? Why would I? I would love to play at your course there, Mayfield.
Maybe even if it's just, we'll take the longest hole, like a par 5 or something.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Or would that? Mm. Anyway, whatever.
So I'm in Palma Pasta, Palma's Kitchen. Just amazing. Because, you know, it's where you and I and Anthony had lunch that day. So I met a friend there for lunch. You know, that's a thing you can do.
Yes. And for lunch.
It was a, you know, they've got all this hot food and sandwiches. You know, I had fresh made pasta. Like, I don't know if this will sound right, but, you know, like high restaurant level, like really, really fine at lunchtime there. And the place was packed, 10,000 feet. Of delicious food and groceries. I did some grocery shopping after.
What did you buy?
A lot of stuff, a lot of meats.
Did you get a lasagna or something?
No, I didn't. I got some cheeses.
You got some
And meat. I got some beautiful salty meats.
To go with the cheese?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I did. I got a ridiculous selection of beautiful prosciutto and some salami. But while I was in there... there was a guy named Chris Scott. Now, this is really cool, and this is one of the reasons I wanted to point this out, is because when you do things like this for us, it makes us not only feel great, but it helps our sponsors. So this Chris Scott guy tweets yesterday, I stopped in, here's what he says, stopped in for lunch at Palma Pasta because I've been hearing about how great the food is on Humble and Fred Radio. Well, that's how you start a tweet.
Mm-hmm.
Food was great. And at Hum How was there to enjoy a conversation with someone. I'm Hum How. So I write back. I go, hey, thanks for the endorsement. I wish you would have come over. He responds, you were too deep into your conversation to interrupt in order to simply say hi. Food was great and amazing value for money, too. Do we need to say anything else? That was a listener, heard about Palma Pasta. They respond. Sponsorship... loop completed.
And it was such a pleasant experience, I'm sure he will return and tell friends and family that they should go.
Four locations, palmapasta.com. Mm-hmm. Four locations, palmapasta.com, Instagram, Twitter. And that location that I was at yesterday is really something. You can take that food away, the food that I had for lunch, you can take it home. There's also, as I said, other stuff to shop for. It was incredible what I came home. I came home with some bocconcini. That little round cheese balls and beautiful peppers and things of that nature. I mean, come on.
Salty meats
like a mo. Like that's a mofo.
And there are other Italian food. There are other locations as well.
So don't take our word for it. Chris Scott says, food is great, amazing value for money. And Anthony's daughter, Sydney, 25, I think she is. She's working there. I said, hey, Sydney. She goes, hey, how you doing? I said, well... I'm here just to have a little lunch. She goes, you here to see my dad? I said, no. But I'll tell you what, if he's around after lunch, why don't you tell him that I'm here and we can have a...
How did you know Sydney? I've never met Sydney.
Because when you and I were there last time, I met her and Anthony said, that's my daughter.
When I was there?
Yeah. It's okay. You were busy.
Oh, maybe I was out. No, I didn't catch that. That's too bad.
So Anthony came down and said hi and is happy with what's going on. Wants everyone to know they've got great catering ideas for Mother's Day this weekend. If you want to treat mom and give her some mom, kind of mom-made food, homemade great, you know that I'm talking about.
Wasn't Mother's Day last weekend?
Yes.
Hey, it's my
thank you.
It's my wife's.
I'll still get it for her.
It's my wife's birthday tomorrow. Should I get her a lasagna?
Yeah,
there you go.
A lasagna and maybe a vacuum.
He's happy. Sean's happy because he caught me in a little Sean moment there.
Yes, I'm not alone.
So don't do it for Mother's Day next year.
Okay. Father's Day is coming up.
Yeah, Father's Day is coming up. Okay, we got to take a break. Yeah, that was good. All right, I know you're happy. I'm still steamed about Bob and Tom. It's Humble and Fred Radio on Funny 820 and at humbleandfredradio.com. Three long days for you better breaks when that light shines on you. It's Humble and Fred Radio. Nobody's happier in this room right now than Sean because I made a mistake as to when Mother's Day was. Yeah, that's fine. At least I know there's no mountain in Chicago, okay, funny boy? Yeah, that's all right.
I got to deal with like four different mothers in my life, so I didn't miss that day at all.
But the idea, and it's funny, I had that conversation with Anthony that we wanted to do some stuff for Mother's Day, and I said, no sweat. We're going to do some stuff for Father's Day. But the fact is, you can get that food that I had yesterday. You can eat it there at the Palmas Kitchen on Seminick Drive in Mississauga. But you can also get them to deliver it with Skip the Dishes or go pick it up as you're, you know, go pick it up. Like, it really is great quality food, and you'll feel good about getting it from them because it's convenient and it's, you know, it was homemade. It's not a, you know, it's not coming out from some giant factory somewhere.
I think I'll slide by today and get some items for the long weekend.
I picked up some things there yesterday, like some jam, fig jam, because I know that girlfriend Rachel likes that
figgy
stuff.
Jam?
Well,
figgy
that's
jam,
yeah. That's good with salty meat, fig jam.
I picked up all kinds of stuff.
You can get some of that that cheese you were talking about, a little bit of salty meat, touch of fig jam with it. Now you're living, brother. Now you're living.
You really are my life coach. Maybe after the show you can explain why we keep offering the studio and helping people and they seem to...
not acknowledge it.
They seem to pass us by. I'm done with that now. It's a whole...
Done with what?
All of it. Done with all the reaching out, all the helping out. That's it. The tap is over. After this, Justin... what's this kid's name? Sean? That's it. The last people we help.
Okay.
Can you imagine walking in here 6 years later? Without anything on your CV, on your promo pack that it doesn't mention us. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do anymore. Anyway.
I think you're in the wrong, you know, career path if you're not promoting yourself and work in entertainment and multimedia.
And you still list cable channels that don't exist anymore.
Yeah, I don't know what to say, Howie. You know.
Let's talk about something.
I'd like to try and be funny right now, but I can't.
Let's talk about something else.
How anguish. About this? Anguish overrides the levity. All right?
That's right. The hurt has gone too deep.
Like a crossbow.
I was going to say, why don't we talk about something fun, like a triple murder in Germany?
Yeah, three people with a crossbow. You know, whenever I see crossbows, which I have seen from time to time, being in the North Country and hunters and stuff like that, I hate, or when you're at a sporting goods shop, crossbows, I don't even like looking at them. You know, are you uncomfortable around a gun? I am, too. It's just, I just think there's a bullet, somebody could die.
Mm-hmm.
But crossbows are ugly. Anyway... in Germany, there was three people murdered. I think it was a hotel, and there was no response from the people inside, and they go in, and they all had crossbow bolts right through their hearts. Imagine.
I'm sorry, what?
Crossbow bolts.
What are bolts?
That's like the arrows.
Oh, why don't they call them arrows?
I don't know. Well, I don't know.
Clear it up.
I don't know.
So they had crossbow arrows through their hearts.
Through their hearts.
Mm. How'd they do that?
And, you know, and with three people, it's not an accident. I always think when I see a crossbow, somebody, while they're loading it, they just don't do it, and it whips off and goes through somebody's eye or something. But these people, can you imagine staring down a crossbow just before you die?
Accurate trajectory.
I don't even know how you would do that. One person killed the other two. How did he
three
also...
Three people.
No, but... Okay.
I guess he had him cornered and shot one and then, you know.
But how did he kill himself with a crossbow?
Why? I didn't say it was a murder-suicide.
Oh, it was a triple murder.
Yeah.
Oh.
Mmm.
Jawohl.
Neue Männer braucht das Land.
I don't know about that.
Those people are cowering in the corner, right? You shoot one and you think by the time you load the second one, somebody could attack you or try and prevent you.
Sure.
But you're cowering and you're shivering and you're shaking in a corner.
Gosh.
And then he loads her up again.
That whap, that moment and reload.
Yeah, so I'm sorry. I got
it's ugly.
I was thinking murder-suicide. That would be a lot harder with a crossbow.
To turn a crossbow on yourself?
Yeah, that's the part I got confused.
Yeah. It would be.
I can't reach it.
I've been a bit confused ever since the...
You could do it. You have long enough arms.
You turn a crossbow on myself?
I couldn't do it.
No, but to your point, that would be scary.
Even a gun, like, I wouldn't even want a shotgun in my house, would you? I don't want any firearm whatsoever in my house, even if it's for sports. I don't want it in my house.
How about a flamethrower?
Yeah.
Oh. But, yeah.
Propane gas tube?
Anyway, they find these people with three crossbows. And then I'm thinking of, like Game of Thrones, you know, like when they didn't have guns and stuff. Did you see the other night some of those spears go?
Yeah. When they have battle scenes, like, I just think to myself, there you are, you're on a horse, and you can see the enemy across the field.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And at some point, some signal gets blown or something, and you go running high speed into somebody who's got a spear and their swords, right, and people hacking you with these big choppers.
Mm-hmm. Ratchets.
Ratchets of some kind, and one guy's got a big... hammer. It's just the worst way to go.
That's why, you know, I mean, it's a television show. When guys like Jon Snow and some of them, they're right in the middle of the crowd, and for some reason they don't get speared or they don't get hacked.
Yeah, they always turn around just in time.
Which is a bit, but they're the stars, so they can't. But all around them, there's people getting, and I, you know, the special effects of having the spear go in and come out the other side and everything, right? I mean, attention to detail. But what a way to die. Because that wouldn't necessarily kill you right away. Like, give me a bullet to the head, please.
Well, that's why when I think of those battle scenes, I'd like to be in the front because those guys go right away. Like, it's almost like the battle starts, you're dead.
Right.
You don't... But when it rages on, you know, minute after minute, and there's chopping and hacking and spearing and stabbing...
Body parts flowing.
I keep thinking, to your point about Jon Snow and the more... prominent members of the cast, aren't they getting tired of all the hacking?
That's another thing.
Like, I'm thinking my bad arm I would not be able to take the battle.
Nope. That cartilage.
I'm out of this battle for 7 to 10 days.
Right.
But, you know, a gun battle, you just get behind, like, a berm or something and you shoot. But these guys, you got to be physically fit.
Mm-hmm.
The weight of those swords.
Because you'd be there, you'd start the battle like, you know, yeah, I got him, and all of a sudden you tire out just as a new soldier comes.
That's right.
And you're done. He runs you through.
Oh.
And those arrows, the way they are, they go through and then they pull them back, and that's when all the damage is done, right?
Oh.
So the German triple crossbow murder, does it have any suspects? Mm. Is there any... Was there anyone being suspicious?
I don't know that part of the story.
Just all you know is crossbows.
All I know is people were found murdered with crossbows.
Scheiße.
In a somewhat civilized country.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, well, it seems medieval, doesn't it?
Oh, really?
It seems like something that might happen to you in some third world country where they can't get their hands on a gun.
Or some library in Riverdale, if you remember that. There was a crossbow murder.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But that was the really technically good crossbow.
It's barbaric. The Germans, it's a crossbow murder.
Couldn't hack them enough.
That's lovely.
What I love Game of Thrones to is the catapults.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's amazing. Like, they really use those with the fireballs and the catapults.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
Although while it's flying through the air, you could easily outrun one.
Right.
You have
You think
time.
You could.
Well,
but
you have some time.
The battle is a chaos. Yes. You don't know when. We have the advantage of seeing the catapults, almost like top tracer technology on golf. You know,
right,
you see it from the air. But when you're on the ground, hacking and chopping.
Mid-hack.
You know, your arms are sore. You don't know if a ball of flame is coming at your head. You know what I'm talking about. You don't see it.
Yeah.
You know, that's why I always say it's better to watch a tournament on TV, because when you're there on the grounds, you know, you don't know what's going on. Someone could throw something at you.
Yeah, a lot of sporting events are like that.
Yeah.
You know? Watching on television, you catch a lot more than you would
in
the crowd.
A lot of times, and I don't know when this started, but people started bringing, you know, in the early days of the broadcast, they would bring radios to the ballpark because they wanted to hear the play-by-play.
Mm.
That's permeated a lot of sports. Even in golf, you see people walking around tournaments tuning into Sirius XM or something to get sort of the perspective. Mm-hmm. Like, I was having this conversation with this really cool guy. He's the guy that owns this course on the East Coast called Cabot Links. And he was telling me about going to the Masters and getting to play the golf course. And he said, you know, I didn't want to go there until I could play it. But he said, I don't really like watching tournament golf in person. I said, I'm the same way. I don't. It's cool once in a while. I've done it for the novelty of it. But I would much rather see the whole perspective of the course.
The only reason I would like to go is when we went to, Tiger Takes Toronto, actually being within spitting distance of the actual athlete is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But
because you know, we've often talked about who's the most famous person we've been around, and you know, I was Robert Duvall, and you know, Tiger might be number two, actually.
Yeah, but we never really got to talk to him.
No, but
we got to talk to Robert Duvall.
But it being sort of in the, I guess, because it's different. It's like Paul McCartney's on the stage way down there. The thing is about Tiger, he was right there, like where Sean is. You know,
that's an interesting conversation. Yeah. Who would be the most famous people that we've met on the show? And I always think about Chris Martin and Pink and Janet Jackson. Robert Duvall was a guest on our show. Sometimes a name will come up, and I'll go, oh, yeah, I think we had them on. Like John Cusack came on, Kevin Smith. Like, when it comes to battles, though, I think you're better off watching them from, you know, the castle or something, because you have a chance. Like, long before Blonde Lady went crazy with the dragons, those people thought, okay, well, we've lost this battle, but we'll probably be okay, you know, here at King's Landing. Well, did you see it?
I did.
Yeah, and stuff went sour quickly.
And there's no dragon cam or anything like that, right?
There should have been a dragon cam.
Well, that one battle where the dagger got the I don't know, the character's name, the big giant guy or whatever his member took his helmet off, and they got into a battle.
Him and his brother? The Hound and his brother?
Is that it?
Sir Gregor?
The real big guy.
Yeah, Cersei's bodyguard?
Yes.
That's the Hound's brother.
Is it?
Mountain?
Mountain.
It is like it.
Anyway, he got a long dagger right in the eye.
Yeah,
that's what brought him down, though.
No, what brought him down is when his brother pushed him off the cliff. He wouldn't die.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Because remember, he said, "Why won't you die?"
That's right. But he did get a dagger in the eye.
Yeah.
Which maybe made him vulnerable to push off the cliff.
It can. It can make one vulnerable.
You're more likely to die.
How does that... though you know that character's about to die, what is that character thinking in that moment? Well, looky here, I've got a dagger in my eye. Like, you and I would be like, ow! I can't lift my arm. And
I'll never be able to see out of that eye again.
Yeah.
Don't touch the other one, okay?
Now I've only got one good eye because this other eye's been daggered.
Got to see the fairway. Got to see something with the fairway.
No one's... Yeah, I mean, there's things that happen on that show that if one of them happened to me, I would just be running away.
Right.
Like nobody's business.
Yeah, but see, that's your way of life there. Like, you think of it in today's terms, but when you lived in those times, I guess you had your head around the fact that there's a good chance I'm going to die with a spear in the eye.
Yeah, you're the moment.
You know? That's true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a very good chance today will end with a spear through my head.
You know, if I don't die from famine or some disease.
Gonorrhea.
There's a lot of that in that.
By the way, I should mention that Michelle Levesque, who is our friend from LFS. Sorry. He did a really nice thing for us. He applied to get us into the K Canadian Association of Broadcasters Hall of Fame. And he sent them a note. And he sent us their response. And it turns out the Canadian Association of Broadcasters does not have a Hall of Fame
like
anymore.
Like a physical location.
For yeah. Mm-hmm. But this is not the Hall of Fame we were trying to get into, but this one we've been turned down.
Well, thanks.
But yeah, we certainly appreciate
it. CAB restrict no longer nominating new names to its Hall of Fame, whoever there are provincial associations, right?
Right.
Like they had political trouble.
In this regard, Humble and Fred may well be logical candidates for inclusion in their hall.
The Ontario Association of Broadcasters. I don't know.
Why don't we just create a hall?
Downstairs. We should do the Etobicoke Broadcast Hall of Fame. That's what we should get ourselves
into.
In the basement.
And we'll be the first inductees.
Yeah.
Right.
And we'll make sure we snub several other radio people.
Oh, yeah. That's what we'll do. We'll create our own Hall of Fame. But thanks very much to...
Michelle.
Mm-hmm. Michelle Levesque.
Another quick couple follow-ups here. And I got to be honest with you, I don't understand this. Because we did everything we could.
Hey, guys.
And Brad Urbanowitz says, listening to Tuesday's show, that's yesterday's show, the quality sucks again. Whatever you guys did on Monday, just do that. It was perfect that day. And
that's just wrong.
I can tell you. What's the matter? Oh, this, sorry. After I saw that, I was in the city, and I had a half an hour to come home back to here. I listened to our show through my Bluetooth.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what he's talking about. I thought it sounded great.
Yeah, I listened to my office at home on my Bose speakers, and it sounded great. Maybe better than ever. So
I did exactly what Howard did yesterday on Monday, so I don't understand there's a difference between the two. That's the thing.
In terms of how he produced the file.
It's the same thing.
So I don't know what Brad's saying. I hope for everyone else that it sounds better. We did a lot of work, the great Jim Carr. All of us have kind of, you know, tried to pitch in a little bit here and see what we can do. And you know, I've backed off this mic a little bit today and just trying to even out the sound, but we thought it sounded pretty good.
Absolutely.
As well, just a quick note to our friends, the Finn brothers. I'm going to go see their show tomorrow night.
Hey,
they were in on, when were they here, Monday?
Monday, I believe.
A musical comedy hour featuring the Finn brothers at their Madcap and Musical Best is happening at the Lower Ossington Theater this Thursday, 7:30, there's a 20% off discount with the code FUNNY820.
Excellent.
Isn't that nice?
Mm-hmm. When they were here the other day, it's called Crooning Comics, and I asked the question, I said, yeah, you're crooning, but is it funny? I meant to say, was there stand-up around it? You know what I mean? At that moment.
Mm-hmm. Well,
that's all.
Hope they don't.
But because I just happened to hear that part back, and I said, well, it's crooning. Of course, it's funny, but I was... The point was, is it all funny songs, or is there, like the Rat Pack they referenced, was it like stand-up comedy in between?
I hear
and that's
you.
What it is.
It's
right?
A Finn-filled fun extravaganza. It's a Finn-filled fun extravaganza filled with frivolity and other complicated F-words.
Mm-hmm.
Lower Ossington Theater tomorrow night, and if you do see myself and GFR there, please come over and say hello. Okay. Don't be afraid.
Sauce over
and say hi. All right, science guy, here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for another episode of Sean Sargent, Things in the News.
Sean Nye, the science guy.
Highlights in the news, bum, bum. All right, Shoney.
Yeah, I got some big science news from the
science guy.
Science. Yeah, the climate change is making trees grow faster.
You would think it would be the opposite.
Mind blown.
So they found in the major national park in China, I don't know which one exactly, they did a big study at one of these major national parks in China and found that all of the trees in the forest are growing faster than they've ever grown. The tree rings are getting wider. And so they tested this in other major national parks around the world and found it's the same case in places like the Amazon, places around North America, anywhere and everywhere.
Okay, explanation. Why do they think this is happening?
Because the sun, climate change, global warming, it's heating up the atmosphere and causing the soil to overwork. in the ground. And so the tree rings are getting wider and bigger because photosynthesis, they're just working, doing the thing.
Mm.
Big word. I use the science
word. No, listen,
word.
So far yes. It's... Well, it's not really. So I can't. And, but so far, it's the explanation is quite reasonable.
It's a good start. Yep.
I'm not. No, I know
the soil is overworking from.
Yeah,
the
it's
heat.
Overworking the soil.
Yep.
The trees are growing faster.
And
what's the net of this climate?
Does this mean they will die sooner?
That's what they're kind of looking at. All these major forests around the world have the potential to kind of disappear within the next 50 to 100 years.
You're saying there will be no more forests
because the trees are growing too fast.
Then you'll say you can't see the forest because there are no trees.
That's right.
You can't see the forest for there are no trees left to see.
Just sticks and toothpicks.
Yeah, okay.
Lying around.
This has got to be his theme, blinding me with science.
Mm-hmm.
Because he is blinding us.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Was there another one?
Well, there's one kind of attached to that because the UN came out with a study this week as well saying that... we're going to be losing 1 million species of plants... And animals, they're at risk of extinction within my lifetime. I'm not sure. I didn't look at the exact number of years that it's going to be in the future.
They were saying end of century or something like that.
It was something, yeah, it's within somewhere in my lifetime. It was a 50 to 75-ish year study, somewhere in there.
Mm.
But the
that's fascinating.
Yeah, so we're going to lose, and they're pointing at stuff like the basics, tigers, the elephants, all the birds that are all extinct.
Tiger's going to be extinct? I don't like that.
Great.
I was going to say, is Canada...
Going off the rails.
I hope Canada geese are on that list.
Yes. Probably.
Probably not, though, because there's so many of them.
No, I'd love them to be... Or the mink that lives in my boat every summer. I hope minks are gone, too.
Like chipmunks that eat all the...
I think whatever animals you don't like, we should get rid of.
Yeah. Can we engineer it in such a way?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All the spiders.
Thank you, Sean. Listen, Fred, can we talk a little bit about the chamber plan before we get done here? And let's listen, Phil, to another Thomas Dolby song that I really like. I used to play it, I think. This was a CFNY, one of our submarines. Remember this?
Oh, yeah. Chambers of Commerce Group Insurance Plan. Go to chamberplan.ca, find out how you can be, you can become part of the chamber plan for your small businesses, or your small business, one to, say, 100 employees. It's right there. Get a free quote. Put in the parameters of your business, and you'll find out what it will cost to be part of this benefits package enjoyed by 30,000 Canadian businesses. They've been around for over 40 years. It's very simple to get hooked up. And it's stable for the numbers I just gave you. And there's, health and dental insurance and other products under that umbrella, including an HR department now. It really is something for a small business. So you can take your small business and give your employees the security that they'll appreciate. Chamberplan.ca.
Sweetie, sweet, sweet times. Very nice. Phil?
Hello?
We haven't really heard much from you lately, but I just want you to know that should this radio show, not survive much longer, there are prospects for myself, and I would, of course, invite you to come along with me. I just got a notice yesterday from LinkedIn, and I clicked on it. I thought, this is interesting. It says, Manager Operations at Canada Post, and I'm like, well, what is this? Apparently... LinkedIn has sussed out some top jobs for me.
Cool.
Here are the top job picks for me.
Oh.
Temporary assistant manager, Walmart Canada, Squamish, BC.
No way.
Just temporary, though.
Mm-hmm. In Squamish.
But I'll take you with me.
Mm-hmm.
Assistant manager, TTC, design. I'm not sure what that is.
Hmm. You're coming up with new streetcar lines and stuff.
Senior manager, experience necessary for a job at Wasserman. I'm not sure what they do. Here's one I think that would fit my skill set. Travel concierge. Because when you think of what I do, I really am a travel concierge.
Oh,
you know.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But I'm taking you with me, Phil.
Okay. I'll be the busboy.
But so far, my best prospects are temporary assistant manager, Squamish Walmart.
Jeez. Well, that just blows... that right out of the water as far as what good is it? Because you're not really qualified for any of that stuff, are you?
I'm barely qualified for this.
Well, that's what I mean. So what's that all about?
I don't know.
I actually know someone who works for Walmart, and she happens to be a director of some random thing in HR.
I could ask her. Wouldn't that be an algorithm thing?
Probably algorithm, yeah.
Yeah.
Because what they'll do is they'll farm your data. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So how would it end up with that?
I got people greeter at St. Catherine's Walmart.
That makes sense.
Oh, okay. Well, then maybe we'll work together.
I'll work at Walmart.
I don't even know if I'm on LinkedIn.
Well, we'll find out another time. Listen, the Twitch feed's going to continue. Fred and I are playing a video game.
Yeah.
Cavs against the Raps. You can watch that. We'll see you tomorrow. Phil.
This episode of Humble and Fred Radio is brought to you by FYI Music News, The Retirement Sherpa, Gig Sky, The Chambers Plan, Strain Print, LFS Credit and Finance Solutions, Rainmaker PR, Hamilton Film Studios, and our newest sponsor, Palma Pasta. We broadcast to the world from the Humble and Fred Queensway National Broadcast Center. More Humble and Fred tomorrow and online at humbleandfredradio.com.